ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती रुत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्ठिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः गोविंदाय नमो नमः। हरे कृष्ण। सो वेलकम ऑल ऑफ यू टू श्री राधा गोपीनाथ मंदिर ऑन संडे मॉर्निंग श्रीमद् भागवतम। टुडे वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम 11th कैंटो चैप्टर नंबर 9 एंटाइटल्ड डिटैचमेंट फ्रॉम ऑल दैट इज मटीरियल। टेक्स्ट नंबर 26। जायात्मजार्त पशुभृत्य गृहाप्त वर्गान् जायात्मजार्त पशुभृत्य गृहाप्त वर्गान् पुष्णाति यत् प्रिय चिकीर्षया वितन्वन् पुष्णाति यत् प्रिय चिकीर्षया वितन्वन् स्वान्ते सकृच्छम्रम् अवरुद्ध धनस्य देहा स्वान्ते सकृच्छमवरुद्ध धनस्य देहः सृष्ट्वास्य बीजं वसिदति वृक्षधर्मः सृष्ट्वास्य बीजमसिदति वृक्षधर्मः प्लीज रिपीट। जायात्मजार्त पशुभृत्य गृहात्पवर्गान् पुष्णाति यत्प्रियचिकीर्षय वितन्वन् स्वान्ते सकृच्छमवरुद्धधनस्य देहः सृष्ट्वास्य बीजं वसिदति वृक्षधर्मः पुष्णाति यत्विचिकीर्षय चितन्वन् स्वान्ते सकृच्छमवरुद्धधनस्य देहः सृष्ट्वास्य बीजमवसिदिति वृक्षधर्मः जायात्मजार्त पशुभृत्य गृहाप्त वर्गान पुष्णाति यत् प्रिय चिकीर्षय वितन्वन् स्वान्ते सकृच्छमवरुद्ध धनस्त देहः सृष्ट्वास्य बीजं वसिदति वृक्षधर्मः लेडीज जायात्मजार्त पशुभृत्य गृहाप्त वर्गान् पुष्णाति यत् प्रिय चिकीर्षय वितन्वन् स्वान्ते सकृच्छमवरुद्ध धनस्स देहः सृष्टास्य बीजं वसिदति वृक्षधर्मः जाया वाइफ आत्मज चिल्ड्रन अर्थ मनी पशु डोमेस्टिक एनिमल्स भृत्य सर्वेंट्स गृह होम आप्त रिलेटिव्स एंड फ्रेंड्स वर्गान ऑल दीज कैटेगोरीज पुष्णाति नरिशेस यत द बॉडी प्रिय चिकीर्षया विद द डिजायर टू प्लीज Vitanvan, expanding, Swante, at the time of death. Sakruchram, with great struggle. Avaruddha, accumulated. Dhanaha, wealth. Saha, this. Dehaha, body. Srishtva, having created. Asya, of the living entity. Bijam, the seed, avasidati, falls down and dies. Vriksha, the tree, dharmaha, following the nature of. Translation. A man attached to the body accumulates money with great struggle to expand and protect the position of his wife, children, property, domestic animals, servants, homes, relatives, friends, and so on. He does all this for the gratification of his own body. As a tree before dying produces a seed of future tree, a dying body manifests the seed of one's next material body in the form of one's accumulated karma, thus assuring the continuation of material existence. The material body sinks down and dies. Purport. One might argue, among all the gurus, that is quote, among all the gurus mentioned thus far, the material body is certainly the best guru, since it awards the detachment and fine intelligence that enables one to engage in devotional service of the Lord. Thus we should serve the body, although it is temporary, with great attachment and risk the offense of ungratefulness. How can detachment from the body be recommended when the body is endowed with so many wonderful qualities? Unquote. The answer to this question is given in this verse. The body does not reward detachment and knowledge in the manner of some benevolent teacher. Rather, it causes so much pain and misery that any common sense person can not help being convinced of the uselessness of material life. Just as the tree produces the seeds of the next tree and then dies, the body's lusty desires induce the conditioned soul to create a further chain of karma. Finally, the body, having paved the way for the unlimited suffering in the material existence drops dead. According to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Deha indicates both the gross body and a subtle mental body. Those who do not clearly understand the difference between the body and the soul falsely think that the body and the soul are identical and that one can find perfect happiness in bodily sense gratification. But those who foolishly accept the temporary body as all important cannot be compared with self-realized souls who intelligently understand the superiority of the eternal soul. Om Ajnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manovishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupak Kadamayam Tadati Sa Padantikam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So the event that is taking place, the situation of Srimad Bhagavatam scenario, is this is maybe the last day morning or the second last day evening of 7 day description of Srimad Bhagavatam. Parikshit Maharaj has not eaten, not drunk anything, not slept, not taken any breaks in between. Day and night, 24/7, continuously he is hearing, and Shukdev Maharaj is continuously talking. And generally, what do we expect when such kind of fasting is done? That the listener is tired, exhausted, drained, hypoglycemic, hypotensive. Maybe losing interest, not because of anything but because of the physical situation. And the speaker also may be tired, his throat is exhausted, and is also waiting whether the student is interested or not, so I can wind up everything fast. This is usual if we can attempt like that. But the scenario is like this, that as the time is passing from day 1 to day 2 to day 4 and day 5, amazingly, exactly opposite things are happening. So much interest is generated by Parikshit Maharaj. And over again, if you go on reading Bhagavatam ahead and ahead, Shukdev Ji Maharaj is glorifying Parikshit Maharaj. Thank you, congratulations. Your question is inspiring me. As time is passing by, your queries, your inquiries about Sri Krishna's personality in past times are encouraging me. So he's also doubly, triply and multiply encouraged. And Parikshit Maharaj is so enthusiastic, completely against the laws of nature. So this is what is the benediction, the fortune that a human life has. If there was a cat and dog in the assembly, he might have left me by 1 hour. Sometime his master is there, so he would sit there, but otherwise the cat and dog will go away. But so many great sages are sitting there. It's not only Parikshit Maharaj. Parikshit Maharaj is putting inquiries and then creating the great enthusiasm. But there is Narad Muni, there is Vishwamitra, everybody is there. Vyas Dev is there. You name which great personality was not there. Everybody, Saptarishi, everybody was there. Thousands of people were there. Nobody took a break. They all followed the path of Parikshit. And they also were eager what is being asked and what is being told. So this is the very fortune of being a human being. That this body, what has been described here, as one of the gurus of Avadhuta, that the body itself is a guru who has taught many things. This human life is extremely fortunate opportunity for the living entity. After having ventured into varieties of bodies and variety of situations to exploit the material world, to kind of find enjoyment somewhere through some senses of dog's body or some senses of cat's body or some senses of mosquito's body or elephant's body, and so many bodies which we even don't even know. You get amazed when you see the nature. So many kinds of living entities are there. And each and every living entity, through that body, the living entity is trying to just enjoy through whatever sensual capacity it has. And after all that struggle and venture, he has been awarded human life. And so there are two ways of doing things. If you see, oh, I was trying to attempt to enjoy in so many varieties of body and so many things, I have been told that this is the highest super developed existence of human body that I am entering into. So now I can really go out, use my intelligence, use my mind, use my every possible resource to really enjoy to the highest degree, to the highest unbelievable perceptions. I will enjoy. And there starts, with this thought process, there starts degradation and unlimited sufferings, because in other lifetimes there is no karma. So you do many things and you just go to the next situation with nothing carry forward from the previous situation except your unfulfilled desires. But no karmic luggage is there with you. If a tiger kills a deer and hundreds of other animals and eats them so called mercilessly from our point of view, there is no karma there. The kite comes and picks up a chicken, no karma there. If some human being is torn upon by a tiger or a leopard, there is no karma behind that. So only human being is suffering his karma or her karma. But in this so-called extraordinary opportunity to enjoyment, there is a tag of karma right from the day one, when you breathe first. And everything is being collected and accumulated and kept very meticulously in a super fine recording system. So even if you may not remember what you did, or you may not know what you did, it is still recorded. Even the thoughts are recorded. Thoughts are not rewarded in Kali Yuga, fortunately. In other regards, even the thoughts are punished or rewarded. Imagine if Kali Yuga we were punished or accordingly as per our thoughts. My God, I cannot imagine my mind is, what the mind is doing with me, I don't know. In the best of all situations also, the mind is dwelling on something which is obnoxious, which gives us, you know, grina actually for ourselves. What is this? I am in the middle of this most precious saintly assembly where most precious things are being discussed about the salvation of the soul, and my mind is running in some heinous desire of sense gratification at the very moment of time. And if that was being punished, suppose, in Kali Yuga, I don't know what will happen. What will happen to all our attempts that we are very feebly doing to rise up from the fallen condition? This thought itself will finish us. What to speak of rising? It is said that in human life, when there is ignorance, by the mere contact of the sense with the objects, by the desire of the mind, the whole chain of unbearable suffering begins, which itself is actually promising us that it will give happiness to you. We are doing all that thought process and contact of the object of the senses with the senses. The whole process is in the hope that I will become happy. I am doing all these things, planning, sankalpa, everything to become happy. But exactly opposite thing happens. It is said that the happiness that the contact of senses give to with the objects is just in anticipation only. Like they say that when you get married, the happiness is only from the period when marriage is fixed up until the marriage. And as soon as you get married, everything starts from the day itself. During the marriage also it starts. Yeah, something you didn't do, something they didn't do, some man upman, something here, something that, some ego issues. In villages if you go, there are, they drink alcohol and there are fights and there is bloodshed. It is said that in villages without bloodshed, marriage doesn't take place only. When we are supposed to have sweet memories, we have memories of bloodshed. This happened in the marriage of this situation. So, point is, the attempt of sense gratification, that it will give happiness, is only in anticipation that I will get it. But as soon as you are in touch with the situation, miseries begin. This is all the journey of ignorance, avidya. When avidya is helping you to make your journey, this is what it is, what the menu is for you. But when the human being is bestowed upon, of course by his desire only, by the mercy of the Lord and by his own desire, the association of devotees, then the whole thing changes. Avidya is replaced by vidya, knowledge. On the basis of that knowledge, whatever the soul does, expresses desires and does, hopefully they all will be in the direction of service to the devotees and the Lord. And that is where the real happiness lies. That is where the real happiness that the soul is hankering for is lying. Which requires a lot of effort to understand first. That's why Vedas begin with the statement Athaso Brahma Jidnyasa. Now this is the time to offer Jigyasa of the Brahman, that is the soul and the super soul and the relationship with the soul and super soul, and how to execute that, how to perfect that, all that is supposed to be in this lifetime, this very human lifetime. But what has been explained here is so much of human energy is wasted in doing so many things which are not going to yield anything in return. We are all grihasthas, and even a sannyasi, a brahmachari also has his prapancha. That he has to eat, he has to go to toilet, he has to bathe, he has to dress, he has to clean himself, take care of health when it is sick. So prapancha is not, nobody is bereft of prapancha. Prapancha is there. It may be minimized, but prapancha is going to be there. How to do the prapancha for the Supreme Lord and the Supreme Purpose is the real question. There is nothing higher gift in human life than the association of devotees. You must have heard this millions of times, nothing I am telling new. But we need to every single day reiterate this fact and revise this fact again and again and again. Because with each new situation that comes in front of you, you may feel that, oh, this may be giving me happiness, which is not connected to Krishna. And again we may get diverted on that path. So each and every day when we rise, when we chant the holy name on rising immediately from bed, we have to remind ourselves that the greatest of all gifts of this human life is association of devotees. Like if you read in third canto where Kapil Dev is talking to his mother Devahuti, she is asking Bhagavan Kapil Dev that how this pure soul who is Sachidananda, part and parcel of the Lord, having all the qualities in, at least minute, but having all the qualities of the Lord, being factually a part and parcel of the Lord, how it is entangled into all these obnoxious nonsense activities and suffering like this. How that can happen? The answer was given that because of association of like-minded activities, like-minded people, all this has begun. The soul is pure, but it has associated with situations which is filled with material desires of sense gratification. It has associated with that. That's why all this attachment, entanglement in exactly opposite things to the nature of the soul are obviously seen. How? Like when you are born, apparently helpless we are. So a family is, suppose, some businessman or some family of dancers or family of many things, variety of things, and knowingly, unknowingly you are trained and cultivated in that atmosphere. businessman family will cultivate thoughts in you, I have to become a rich man, I have to become successful in business, I have to expand my father's business, I have to expand property of my father, influence of the business which we had. Or if you are born in a thief family, then right from the day one you are taught, I have to learn to steal things and rob things and pickpocket and become a bigger thief than my father. Father was begging on the Dadar bridge, I have to now make another sophisticated way of doing things without being known as thief. I should become big thief. And there are many thieves, you know, they come and do begging business in Bombay, and they have properties, bungalows, cars in Pune, in Hyderabad. They travel to do the business here and go. And they have lots of properties there. News came. The point I'm trying to tell you is that unknowingly, in unplanned way, by the bint of karma, whichever family we take birth, all that is accumulated by us in the thought process as a bulk of desires, right from the childhood till we grow up. This is the reason why Devavati is asking and Kapil Dev is answering. This is the reason that the association of people who are not God conscious has given this contamination to the soul, and the soul is attempting to work in that direction and suffering and suffering and suffering. Then she asks, so what should be done now in this situation that so many years of cultivation has gone into this negative direction? What should be done now? So Kapil Dev answers that he has to change his association to the association of saintly people, and all that is accumulated will be nullified and will be replaced by transcendental knowledge, transcendental desires, and will direct him to transcendental situations where he can completely transform his life into a blissful experience in the middle of living in the material world, which is full of suffering, which will be inevitably he has to go through because he cannot just avoid heat and cold and rains and storms and earthquakes and tsunamis. That will be a part of his life. But while being in this life, the association of devotees will keep us transcendentally happy in spite of suffering what is going on around. Saintly people's association, it is said that there is Adhik Mass going on. All of us know that it's a very, very precious situation. Very, very indescribable mercy and fortune is there available in this month. Even to most laziest of lazy people who are convinced philosophically, theoretically, but not motivated enough to do things what are necessary to be done, for them also this is a big opportunity. Little you do and get great benefits. So we are advised to go to river to take bath. We are advised to go to chant holy name more than what we do. Follow some vrata, read Srimad Bhagavatam, serve tulsi, go to temple, have darshan, do parikrama of temple, give donations, and attend festivals, feed the brahmanas, vaishnavas, have kirtan. So many things are there. But it is said that even though 30 days are available, you may not be able to do all these things what you want to do, which are there in list. Because time, situations, your engagements may not allow you. But one activity of being in the assembly of devotees and hearing Harikatha, if you are participating, all these activities what we are attempting to do are included in that. How is that? It is said whenever there is Harikatha Prasanga, Harikatha is being narrated and mumukshu, sincere devotees are listening with rapt attention, at that very moment, at that very place, all the auspicious rivers of the whole universe come down and be present there. All the rivers of what you need to take bath or you want to take bath, all of them are flowing in the place where Harikatha is going on. Second, all the saintly people who you need to associate with, they all appear in the place, in the assembly where the Harikatha is being narrated. Sri Hanumanji is present when Harikatha has been narrated. So, all that you cannot do is all possible. For example, if you go to Nasik and you go attend or take bath in Godavari, you are only taking bath in Godavari, by the way. We are not taking bath in any other rivers. There are five rivers there. Pancha Nadi Sangam is there. So five rivers are taking bath. You go to Allahabad, there are three rivers taking bath. If you go to Jagannath Puri, you are in one place. But can you be in all places together? I want to go all over India. All the holy places of Dham of Lord. But not possible for me. But all the Dhams, all the Tirthas, all the holy places, all the Kundas, all the holy mountains, 18 Puranas, all the personified scriptures, they all come to attend the Harikatha. And this is only because of it is association of devotees. So, you may be in Mumbai, you may be in New York, you may be in the hellish situations around you, but if you are in the assembly of Harikatha, fully attentively listening, you are getting all the benefits together. Only one condition is there, that you have to be attentively listening. Because this Shrota is the source of the lecture that is coming out of the Vakta's mind or mouth. Don't think that the speaker is speaking. Speaker is speaking, he has prepared, he has done his austerity, whatever manat he has to do. But what comes out is equally proportional to the desire of the listener. And more sincere the desires are there in the listener, and such more and more listeners are there, more and more things what is needed for the listener is poured out of the mouth of the speaker by the mercy of the Lord and the pure devotees, by the mercy of Guru and Krishna. This is our experience. Even though we are speaking, we know that it is all of you who are drawing what is necessary by as per your desire. So we have to again and again reiterate that the company of sincere devotees is extremely valuable gift of human life. It is so powerful that suppose Harikatha is not going on, you are with a devotee, sincere devotee, you are travelling in the train. He is sitting, maybe he is also dozing because he is tired, travelling, we are travelling. But just because the devotee is with you in spirit, your mind will be not getting diverted to attractive things. For example, a beautiful girl comes, you will not look at the girl because you know devotee is sitting next to me. It's a fact, I'm telling you. It's a real fact. You are indirectly checked by the devotee, by his only mere presence, to not get deflected to Maya. Even if you are sleeping in the train, on different from births, your mind will not go and ponder into sense-figuratory thoughts just because he is sleeping next to you. So even during sleeping, we should have a company of devotees. Should be always covered by the aura or power of a devotee, however simple or advanced or whatever in our understanding that devotee may be in. That a devotee having a desire to be a devotee and attempting to be a devotee and doing some sadhana, some attempt, itself is so powerful, it's a challenge to material world and material nature, and it protects you from that. However insignificant a devotee we may be, but it is attracting the attention of Sri Krishna. And when Krishna is attracted, Maya cannot be there. What is that? Krishna Surya Sama Maya Hoy Andhakar Jahan Krishna Tahan Nai Maya Radhikar. So to the degree you are attracting Krishna, to that degree Maya is not going to be with you. And if you are such a devotee, even those who are with you will be also protected from that influence of Maya. That is the power of association. There is no other better person in this world for your kalyan, for your welfare, than a devotee of the Lord, even if you don't like him. Plus, we are human beings, we are conditioned. Out of so many devotees here, I may not like someone. But still, we always do this exercise. When two devotees are conflicting. At least I have done that several times. That I ask only one question. You don't like him. You have so many issues with this devotee. But suppose when you are dying, if you are dying on deathbed, and then only this devotee is there next to you. What do you think he will do? Yes, he will chant Hare Krishna in my ears. Of which I ask, is there any doubt in your mind? You have fought with him, you have head-ons, loggerheads with him. Whoever never liked him, always hated him. And unfortunately, fortunately, you are dying and he is there around you. Will he remember all those enmities that he had with you and say hell with you? No. He will gather himself and chant Hare Krishna in your ears. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And there is very loving relative of yours, loving friend of yours, who has loved you all the life, and you are dying and he is next to you. He is not a devotee. And he will only cry and cry and cry. And what that cry will do? That cry will make you more miserable while you are living this world. And you will be stuck on your journey out of this body. You know that? When somebody is crying, when you are dying or dead, it hinders your further journey. The tears keep on pulling you. For example, suppose you are going to office and you have a small baby and you are running to office and the child is crying to the door, Mama, Mama. Can the mama go to the office very quickly? The mama comes back, talks to him, don't worry beta, I'll bring chocolate for you, I'll bring toffee for you, don't worry, you play nicely, auntie is there, she'll take care of you, nice, I made masala dosa for you, and so many things. And again the mother starts, wants to go, and again the child goes running, Mama, again the mother has to come back, again console. So how many times mother has to come back and go? She must have reached the office by now. But the cries have never allowed her to actually begin her journey only. So similarly, in our science of palliative care and end-of-life spiritual care, we have learned that as many cries are there, that much journey is hindered above the soul. And it is also explained in scriptures that when somebody is praying for you, giving up the cry, but praying for the soul in the hung condition is thanking the people who are praying, because that is what the soul requires to go ahead. It's like the octane, you know, the propulsive energy that needs the soul to go up the upper journey, urdhva gati, uttam gati. So the soul is not thanking those who are crying for him, soul is thanking those who are praying for him. And who can pray? Only a devotee can pray. Please understand. Rest all are praying, but they are praying for something material. Oh, let my girl get a good husband, let my daughter get a good wife, let my son get good admission in some medical college or whatever. So that prayers everybody is doing, there is abundance of those prayers and all demigods and gods are frustrated with those, so many applications day and day, night are being bombarded on them and they don't know how to stop this ever. But they are duty and they are empowered to do that, so they are doing somehow thanklessly, but looking in the crowd, Lord Shiva, Lord Ganesha, looking in the whole crowd, is anyone there who loves me? And anyone there I can bestow him the devotion to God? Which they are capable of giving. This is a devotee. So there are many devotees we know who value the company of devotees in their life, who value devotees as such only. That there has to be a situation where we need to value and understand the importance of a devotee in our life. Although we like them or do not like them, but in principle we need to understand the value of a devotee. That these are the valuable people in my life who will help me, who will always correct me, who will always put me in direction back, who will not allow me to deviate myself. Otherwise, if there is no devotee association in our life, then what we will do is already mentioned here. We will work hard day and like an ass to create entourage around us of family, graha, kshetra, suta, apta, vittai. We'll make a house, then we'll graha kshetra, we'll like to have a job or a property or a business to earn money. Kshetra suta, they will create children. Apta, because of that family, apta means relatives will be gathering around us, this side, that side, ekule, okule, many things will gather. And to maintain all this increasingly growing entourage, we'll need vitta. And we will be forced to do work hard to earn vitta, to keep this, maintain this as a false source of enjoyment, so called. We will work hard and hard, and as we work hard and hard, more and more entanglement is there. There is no delivery, or there is no deliverance or liberation. And when, unfortunately, whatever you do sincerely without any ulterior motivation, but we are doing these activities, then time and again we will come to know that things are failing. Things are creating adverse effects than what is desired. Things are giving misery in place of happiness. Like a gambler, when he is doing gambling, he will lose, then he will feel, let me play one more and I will gain. See, he has already gained, so let me try. And in the attempt of trying again and again with negative results again and again, he finally gets completely destroyed. And still he wants to rise again with taking loan and again attempt. Because it is said that the more you connect yourself with the sources of so-called enjoyment, you develop proportionately increasing attachment to those things, which will force you more and more to go on doing the same thing in spite of having negative results umpteen number of times. When we give importance to things which are not connected with the Lord, we get overwhelmed by attachment to those things which we have given importance. Our attachment is always to those things which we have given importance to. And giving importance to is totally within your desire, within your independent desire. You choose where I want to get attached to, what is attracting me. If you have knowledge, then you know where to get attracted to. But if you don't have knowledge, natural flow is to attachment organs of objects of sense gratification. And those objects will constantly give misery to you, but also will pull you, drown you within, in the whirlpool of desires. You cannot just come out only of it, unless a devotee comes and rescues you from that whirlpool. Somebody asked His Holiness Giriraj Maharaj in Vrindavan, when I was there in the class, how is that I am chanting Hare Krishna, but I see my desires of money, desires for fame, desire for sex and family is just growing. And I am told that when I chant Hare Krishna, I get freed from all these desires. How to understand these conflicting situations? So he said, while chanting Hare Krishna, are you thinking of Krishna or things which are dear to you? If you think of those things which are dear to you, which are not linked with Krishna, and you are thinking of those things while chanting, then they will get nourished. I mean, your desire to achieve them will get nourished and they will grow. The Holy Name will nourish that because you want that. Only when you think of the Lord and His service while chanting Hare Krishna, those things will grow. It is just not by mere chanting Hare Krishna by mouth and mind is dwelling in some other object. Those things will be cultivated. You feed the bad dog in the mind, the bad dog will become very healthy and big. And you serve the good dog, then he will become healthy and the bad dog will succumb. So again, Kapila Muni is answering devotees the same thing. The only way to nullify sufferings in human life is to voluntarily not succumb to fulfilling desires of material nature. Voluntarily you have to just start giving them up, although they are tempting you. And how to do that? The strength to do that, the strength to say no, will be given by devotee association. There is no other way. On your own, you cannot battle with Maya. Defeat is sure right from the moment one. But you can come over Maya only when you take shelter of devotees and you will draw strength from them to even stand and say, I want to fight with you. Even that guts will come to you only when you take shelter of devotees. I'll give an example to you how it is so. We were buying a flat for our first ever establishment in Mira Road for a polyclinic. From the village camps times we came up to that level. And I was there when we actually dealt the deal of the flat and the owner was there and everything was fine. We come out. The owner came out with us. And all of us were there. Owner came to say bye-bye to us. We came to the building compound gate. And the small puppy of the owner also came with the owner as naturally. And when he was saying bye-bye to us, four of us and the owner and the puppy down, three big dogs came from the main street. Very big dogs. And they were barking like anything on this small puppy. And small puppy was little away. And small puppy was little scared. What the small puppy did? Small puppy came in between the two legs of his master and started barking at those three big dogs. Full confidence. Voice was small. Not as big as the three big dogs. But he was barking with full confidence, staying in between the 2 feet of his master. And after some time, the three big dogs ran away. And very victoriously he went inside with the master. What is the moral of the story? Yes, we all are weak in front of Maya. But we make stand it in the lotus feet of Guru and Krishna and devotees. Then even the big dogs of Maya will get scared and go away from you. Not because of your strength. The strength that you have drawn from the master. The master is very strong. No doubt about it. You have taken the strength, shelter of the master who is convincingly strong. Defeat those dogs of Maya. So this story you can apply in every situation of your life. And this is possible only if you are a human being. And the dog and the animals who take shelter of such human beings is possible for them. Otherwise not possible. The weakest person takes shelter of the strongest person, he can appear to be strongest, defeating the strongest people in the world. Just by the process of using this opportunity of human life to surrender oneself to the devotees, Guru and Krishna. What does the process of surrender do? The process of surrender helps the person whom you are surrendering to do everything possible, needful for the person who is surrendering. Did you get the point? But when I say, yes, my Gurudev, yes, my Lord, I offer myself to you fully, do the needful, do whatever you want for my welfare, then the master gets full freedom to do what is actually necessary for the welfare of the soul who is surrendered. And to the degree we struggle in the process of surrender and we reserve and not surrender fully, to that degree the master is given a limited area of doing welfare. Master cannot do. Even if he wants to do, even if he has potency to do, even he has desire to do, the degree of surrender only will decide how much to do and what he can do. Because the master is not going to go against your desire. He will always respect your desire and independence. Using that independence, the human being decides to offer himself to the Lord 100% and say, Tavasmiti, my Lord, I am yours, and do the needful. Then the Lord doesn't only do needful, takes charge of you and becomes subservient to you, offer himself to you, become yours. This is what Lord Ramchandra has promised. He told Vibhishan, he told Sugriva and everybody, what to speak of Vibhishan? Even if Ravan comes now and says, I'm sorry, I made a mistake, this is your wife and I surrender myself to you. Even if he comes to me now and says Tavasmiti once, then I will offer myself to him immediately. He said, what will you offer? You already said that you will offer Lanka to Vibhishan. No war has taken place yet. You already promised him that he will make you king of Lanka. He said, I will give him kingdom of my Ayodhya. Anyway, I am going to go back and that will be my throne. So I will offer him to Ayodhya. Offer him Ayodhya to him. So then, my Lord, where you will stay? He said, I will. What will you give Bharat? So I don't remember that. He said something else for Bharat also. And then he said, you have given this to Bharat and you have given Ayodhya to Ravan, you have given to Lanka to Vibhishan. Then what is left for you? Where you will stay? He said, I will stay in the hearts of my devotees. I have so much place to stay. Why the Lord is saying this? He says, why is he saying? Because you just tell me once that I am yours. Once you say that I am yours. And you may forget it after you said this. This mostly happens, you know. In the mood, in the very upsurging mood, in the company of devotees, sometimes we pray so many things and when the devotee companies for time being go away, then we forget all those what we prayed.
But the Lord doesn't forget.
And He remembers. He will never remember. If sincerely you have said once, and this opportunity of sincerely saying once to the Lord and His devotees that I am yours is available in human life only, not in the other life. That is why we are very fortunate. Like today we see when we were dancing here in Guru Puja, such an atmosphere. This is not available anywhere in Kali Yuga anywhere. Only few places, very, 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 very rare. That's why it is said, Durlabha Manava and Janama Satsange. Durlabha Manam Janam is Durlabha also, but in that very Durlabha is Satsang of devotees, which can only take us away from this cycles of birth and taravo e bhava sindure. So, where you get such company, where everybody is pouring their heart, I am sure when you are jumping in the holy name, you are not thinking of some sense gratification. Even though heart is maybe filled with sense gratification desires, but when we are dancing in kirtan with devotees, I don't think anybody can think of sense gratification. At least supposed to be. And that energy that is generated with the sincere devotees outpour of love and devotion is unbelievable. And that energy, when you are participating in that energy, you are one and there are hundreds. All hundreds minus one, that is you. You are only receiving everybody's production of energy which is nourishing you. And everybody of you is getting that energy collectively. And is transcending you and purifying you, taking you out of the entanglements, completely nullifying you all the previous sinful reactions, if not desires at least. So what is Kapil Muni telling Devavati? That please, of course he is telling his mother, but he is telling for all of us, all living in it. He is saying, keep company of devotees, keep chanting the holy name in the company of devotees, read scriptures, serve the devotees, visit the holy places, serve the devotees. And by this process, if you are stuck on to this process, one day that pure soul will manifest all pure qualities which is supposed to be having. It will manifest its own glory. And in that glorious condition of manifestation of the reality of the soul, it will be already connected with the Lord, the source. And that is like a panacea cure. It will not affect anything, nothing will affect him. And you will always remain in pure consciousness. If you want to remain constantly in that divine state, then keep the company of devotees and keep giving up the company of non-devotees and immerse yourself in the activities of Krishna consciousness. And whatever we are discussing is not impossible. It's all possible in this very lifetime. Only by the mercy of sincere devotees. We may not get association of pure devotees all the time, but we will get the association of devotees by the arrangement of the Lord, what is good for us. So don't think that if you are somewhere, oh, I am not in Radha Gopinath, that is the best congregation. Oh, I am not in Vrindavan, that is the best congregation. No, you, whatever company of devotees you are receiving now, which may change tomorrow, but even that is become now tomorrow. Whatever company of devotees you are getting now is best tailor-made for your own progress today. You don't judge it that, oh, I wish I could have had that devotee, I could have had my that devotee and that Swamiji and that Maharaj and everything. I would love to be only with Gurudev all the time. That's not possible maybe with the situations in life. But whatever is available to us at this very moment of life is the best available to us for making the progress today. And tomorrow what is going to be best will be available tomorrow. But don't be choosy. Just take it as the mercy of the Lord. So, in the purport, one point is mentioned here that the argument is that, you know, such a beautiful life is there, human being, body is a great guru, so we should take care of the body and really develop attachment because this is a very precious gift. But the answer is given is that the body is a precious gift of the Lord, one of the gurus of our life, because it gives you frustration in your attempts for sense gratification. And that way it develops vairagya. And that way it develops knowledge. When you are experiencing the reality of the life in the human body in attempting sense gratification, it gives you failure and gives you knowledge that, oh, this is not the right path. I am only getting dashed against the stone every time.
and bleeding every time. That's how. That's why I'm saying we are always discussing that. It's how you look at things. Same thing, if you look at in different way, it gives different understanding. Same thing, if you look in selfish way, it gives different understanding. What is most important in this life is Chetana, the consciousness. What consciousness we have. Like a human being sees a deer, who is a poet, for example, he will immediately inspire to write poetry. When the tiger sees a deer, he will write poetry. Tiger will say, it's my food. I'm hungry now, I need to eat it. He will not say, how beautiful the skin, I should preserve it. So beautiful the creation of the Lord. The poet will write millions of words describing the skin of the deer. So what is the deer is same. Deer is doing his job of searching food here and dancing here and there. And tiger sees, he looks like food for him, and the poet feels like object for my poetry. So what depends is the consciousness. What is important is consciousness. And that consciousness determines your fate in this life. Whatever consciousness you are harboring is totally within your independent capacity. You can harbor a consciousness about debauchee, a sinful rascal, or a great devotee, or an attempting sadhaka. It's up to you. And according to what you cultivate with your own independent desire, in the form of your consciousness, will decide your fate definitely. You will not be doing anywhere else except what your consciousness is leading to. So all the effort, all the purpose of this human life is to cultivate that consciousness in Krishna consciousness. That is the crux of the whole matter. Boil down to one point. I need one point answer. That point is to cultivate this consciousness which is within you, independently available to you, within the realm of your independent desire. Cultivate that consciousness for service to Krishna and his devotees. If you only keep this on constantly with whatever little strength you have got, you may not become a great saint in the future, but that very attempt of maintaining your consciousness and growing your consciousness towards Krishna will assure that Krishna will save you whatever feeble condition you are in life. Even if you die in between, in just not attaining anything, for example, but that desire of the attempts that you have manifested and proved to Krishna that I am attempting my Lord, I really desire, I am so weak, ami to kangala, Krishna Krishna boli dhaye tava pache pache, if that attempt is there, na, Krishna will award you the best of all benedictions. In Kali Yuga, looking at the situations what we are in, you know, nothing great things are expected from us. The teacher knows the student. How long jump he can take. So all things are discounted in Kali Yuga. All things are concessional. All things are discounted. All things are made easy, simplified. Just do it. Just little bit. Adhik Mass is there. Just chant Hare Krishna. It will give you 16 lakh times of benefit than other times. It is given in Padma Puran and Skanda Puran. 16 times than Kartik. And Kartik is 1 lakh times. So Adhik Mass is once in 3 years, 32 months, 11 days. Opportunity is there to do something which is giving you millions of times of benefit. So that is all understood. It is already, the discounted things are increasing day by day. As the time is passing, the discounts are increasing. Like 64 rounds were there when Prabhupada went to America. It became 16 rounds immediately. Is it not true? The Guruji had that potency and that desire and the compassion to incorporate all the mercy of 64 rounds in 16 rounds. And you said you chant 16 rounds. Imagine. So discounts are already there. We have to just do sincerely whatever we are given. And whatever we are unable to do, cry to the Lord. My Lord, I am unable to do. Please help me. I want to do, but I am so feeble, I am so weak. There is nothing wrong in crying. You have to be a little bit humble, that's all. Only a humble person can cry and pray. Helplessly praying is only the jurisdiction of a humble person. So if you really come to know we are fallen, then it is easy to pray. If we think we are great, then it is difficult to pray. Now all the people who are most fallen with no qualities in life, if they just learn the art of praying humbly, they can attract all the greatest things in life. How? Very, very story of Adhik Mass only. We must describe the story to prove this point. Like Lord, the Pandavas were performing Vanvas in Kamyavan. It's a beautiful place in Kamyavan. You can visit that place. The Yakshakunda also is there in Kamyavan. The hut also where they stayed, that is there in Kamyavan. Where Lord Krishna came and he saw Pandavas, he felt very bad, extremely bad. He said, "I will burn the whole creation." So angry he felt, "I will burn in the name of Kauravas, I will burn the whole creation." And looking at Lord's compassionate reaction to their situation, the Yudhishthira Maharaj just pacified the loving Lord. "Maharaj, my Lord, it's fine, we are okay. You are in your presence, you are in your mercy, in your protection, we are happy, we are not unhappy. You have come, that is our blessing in the middle of the situation here." And the Lord was pacified. And the Lord said, "I will tell you one story which will help you." And then Lord narrated the story of this Purushottam Mass. He says, one time, after 32 months and 11 days, one month was created. Of course, we will not go into a technical discussion, but 30 days are created after 32 months and 11 days by solar and lunar calculation of time. And that took the form of a person, you know, a Devi, you can say. And then, in each and every month, the Surya enters into one Rashi. That is called Sankranti. Makara Sankranti, Vrishchik Sankranti, Meena Sankranti. We only know Makara Sankranti because that is celebration, so we know that. But every month, the sun enters one Rashi. And because it enters in that Rashi, Muhurtas are created for various occasions like marriage or Graha Pravesha Vastu or like that. And then when the Muhurtas are created for various things, good time, bad times are created, then demigods receive their offerings. There's a channel created for demigods to receive your offerings and they get nourished and you offer them and you get benefited. All these things, Karmakanda, begins when sun enters a particular Rashi in a particular month. And fortunately, in this month, sun would not enter any Rashi. So there is no any Rashi Sankranti for Surya. So all demigods rejected this month. What is going to be achieved in this month? No benefit for us. No offerings, any offerings of the human beings from earth. So nobody wanted to own this mantra or be in this mantra or associate with this mantra. In fact, they labeled this mantra as Malamas. Mala means all the unwanted things which we throw out of the body in the morning. Mala. So named as Mal, it was like they said that this month was condemned so much by everybody. Nobody wanted to do anything with this month, associate with this month, be with this month, nothing, just outcasted totally. See, you may be having no position, you can still maintain yourself. But with no position, everybody is blaspheming you, condemning you, rejecting you, using bad words to you get frustrated totally. You can survive in a most poverty condition. But if you are constantly being blamed by somebody, rejected by somebody, and nirbhatsana kehte hai, Sanskrit, Hindi mein. So this month got really frustrated. Nobody should be in that condition of so much, dejection by everybody else who's supposed to be sheltering you. So this month went to Lord Vishnu. And Vishnu took him to Sri Hari. And then Vishnu explained to Sri Hari the situation of this month. And the month was very humble. What is there to be proud of? There's nobody is accepting you. Nobody, you don't see anything good in you. Everybody is not seeing good in you, so rejecting you. There's nothing to be proud of. It's a very good thing. In one sense, you can feelingly pray and take shelter of the Lord when there's nothing to take shelter of. It's not a curse, it's a blessing actually in one sense. Because when you become such a deen personality, then Dinanath comes to take charge of you. If you don't become that kind of deen, then Dinanath doesn't get inspired to come and take charge of you. So this month, Lady Devi was in a very appropriate condition of sorrow and also the humility that is required. So as soon as the month, Lady Devi took shelter of the Lord. What the Lord said? Don't worry. I will give my name to you. I will become your husband. All my divine unlimited qualities I will bestow upon you. You will become non-different than me. I will dwell in you. Immediately you see the transformation. What took place? And whoever does whatever he does in my direction for me in this month will yield millions of times effect in this month. One, this month, if anybody does any vrata, what is the meaning of vrata? To accept some inconvenience willfully for the pleasure of the Lord only. That is called vrata. You may travel in Virar, Churchgate train. It's not vrata. It is a forceful thing. You don't want to do it. You know, you are forced to do it. We are talking about something which you are willingly ready to do it, and there has to be some inconvenience in that, and it has to be done for the pleasure of the Guru and Krishna. If anybody does anything which is not defined, you have to do this much only. Whatever you do little in this month, you will be called as a Purushottam Vrati. And in the body of a Purushottam Vrati, all the demigods will reside to associate with and to gain the benefit that the Purushottam Vrati is getting. And benefits will be in multiple that I already told you. All the holy places will try to reside in the person who is performing Purushottam Vrata. So much importance, so much of high position, respect, reverence, beneficiary effects, all that is wanted was bestowed upon this Purushottam, this so-called Malmas, which was insignificantly rejected month. So, bolta na Hindi mein, kahan se kahan pahuncha diya? From where to where the Lord uplifted this particular month. That is why one should not hesitate to take shelter of the Lord feelingly from the heart in the humble condition. That's what humility rewards. If you have everything great in life and you are proud of that, Lord has nothing to do with you. Because whatever you have got in life, you are proud of, all is given by Lord only to you. What is there to be proud of? You are not the source of all those things. It is the Lord who has bestowed upon little or more or much wealth on you, or prestige or fame on you. But what is not given by Him is your desire, is your attempt of devotion and love. That is purely owned by you, and that is what is called yours. And when you offer that, the Lord is very impressed with that, because that is something you can say is mine. Rest, everything what you are offering is all given by the Lord. You may offer a ghee lamp in a golden lamp, a pure cow ghee. But a gold is given by the Lord, a ghee is given by the Lord, a cotton is given by the Lord. What is yours is devotion. And only that is Lord is accepting only that. He is not accepting anything else. In whatever you do, King Bahulashwa offered unlimited offerings with all opulent things around. And Shrutadev Brahmin was giving, you know, tart. What is that tart? Gani sack. Something which is very, very primitive. Offering some roots and herbs and fruits. But it is said that Lord enjoyed both places equally, accepted both the things equally, because both of them were equal great devotees of the Lord. They had the devotion that they had. Whatever they did, so much of devotion that Lord was happy with Bahulashwa also. Lord was happy with Shrutadev also. He was not looking at the things they were offering. He was looking at only the heart with which they were offering. This is not such a good thing for us. Because obviously, in Kali Yuga, we are not that kind of opulent people. We don't have those things. But we have the heart full of consciousness. And that can be enriched with humility and sincere desire for surrender. And that is enough. You may not, even people who didn't have anything, any penny in life, they were offering offerings in the mind. And the Lord was accepting the kheer in the mind. So what to speak of Shrutadev, who had at least some ganisak and some fruits. There are mentions in the Nectar of Devotion that a sadhu was offering mentally the kheer to the Lord. And mentally, before offering the kheer to the Lord, he put his finger to see how hot it was, to cool it down before offering. And his finger burnt. And the Lord was laughing. And Lord Lakshmi Devi said, "Why are you laughing?" The Lord said, "See, my devotee is offering kheer to me." So what is stopping us when the Lord is doing so many concessions after concessions? Even if you don't have any resources, the Lord is saying, offer me some leaf or offer me some devotion in the heart and in mind you can offer. Vasudev had, he was in jail. He didn't have anything, although he had everything to offer, but he couldn't offer anything. So he offered 2 lakh cows in the mine to Brahmins. And it was, he was benefited by that. It's a beautiful thing it is. So sometimes we tell people, you may think I don't have anything, don't worry. Just sit down for 15 minutes and make 56 wonderful items with the purest of organic material in gold plate, with gold spoons and gold glasses, and variety of celestial drinks you can make. Sit down, put a tulsi, bring a golden bell, as decorative as possible, shut it with diamonds, and chant mantras and offer to the Lord. And the Lord will accept. The Lord is hungry of our devotion and our love and our bhav. Rest, everything is His. What is there to be proud of when you are offering that? What is He looking for is that love. He is bhavagrahi. He is bhavagrahi Janardhan. He is hungry of the love that we are going to offer to Him. And for that He comes running behind the devotees. What He has not done? It is said in Maharashtra there are saintly people. He has heard the cows of many saintly people. He has washed clothes of many saintly people. He has done chakki of some devotees. He has done so many things for Namdev, for Tukaram, for devotees. What He has not done? He went to the house of Kolavija Sridhar, and that pot where any desperate, even thief will not look at, that pot Lord lifted and drank water from that and showed that I will show the wealth of Sridhar Kolavija to the whole world. And He showed everybody what is the wealth of Sridhar Kolavija. Most pauper person in the world. He was also dejected and blasphemed and everything was there. But the Lord went to his house after Chand Kadhi's pastime. And then He got him lifted in unconscious condition to bring him in the Mahaprakash Leela. What was there with Sridhar Kolavija? Nothing which he can be proud of and we can be proud of listening. But he had that wealth in the heart, in his embedded in his enriched consciousness, which was attracting the Lord and attracting the Lord to spend 3 hours of his 48 hours of short Leela. Every day 3 hours the Lord was spending, we can say, uselessly wasting his time. Just simply arguing nonsense things, you know, you say, ye to 48 hours, years only available for this Leela, and out of that 3 hours in the morning he is incognito. What is he doing? Nobody knows. Nobody knew who Sridhar Kolavija was. He was spending 3 hours every day. And then he went to Jagannath Puri. He was spending 3 hours every day with Haridas Thakur. Also he was neglected, outcasted person. He also chose to stay in jungle under one tree so that nobody would be contaminated by him. So Lord would go to the temple of Jagannath, take the Datun of the Lord, Jagannath, and give it to Haridas and spend 3 hours with him. Nobody knew where Lord was. So what is Lord exhibiting? I am Supreme Lord, the master of all Vaikunthas, Golokeshwar. And here is an insignificant person who is neglected, outcasted person. But he has devotion for me. Lord is going to him. Because Haridas Thakur, Sridhar Kolavija, in their human lifetime, they had chosen to enrich their heart with love and devotion for the Lord. They had cultivated their consciousness. What is the proof of that consciousness? The Lord told Kolavija Sridhar, Sridhar, tell me what I can give you. I'll give you Ashtasiddhis. I'll give a Vaikuntha planet to you. I'll create a material planet for you. I'll give you wealth. I'll give you wealth which will put Indra to shame. I'll give you all mystic Siddhis. I'll give you this. I'll give you that. He just went on and elaborating. By hearing only we'll get mad. What to ask now? He's giving everything. How will I gather everything? And you know what answer he's giving? What will I do with that Lord, my Lord? It's simply a disturbance. That word now always I hear in Katha is simply a disturbance. It's such a bewildering word. Can it be a disturbance when you have so many things in life? How can that be disturbance? There will be so much engagement and involvement. But each and everything the Lord is offering, said, I will give you liberation. Say, what will I do with that? And then Lord said, Sridhar, you must take something from me. I'm standing in front of you, asking, I want to give, and you're not taking anything. I'm feeling despondent here. You must take something. Then Sridhar realized that now, if I ask something, he will be happy. And I want to make him happy. And it looks like, if I ask something, he'll be happy. So he said, you come every time, in my every lifetime, you keep coming again and again. I want to come as a banana seller, and you keep coming again and again and steal my bananas and go. That also he asked. Actually, see what he asked. He asked only that thing which will please the Lord. And he didn't ask anything which will please him. Same thing with Prahlad also. Lord was bent upon asking, take something, take. So he's saying, my Lord, I'm not a businessman, I'm not a vyapari. So I didn't do anything. You are saying I did so many things. But you only did everything. You only protected me. But whatever has happened is not in the mood of getting some gain from you in return in future. I haven't done that with that mood. So please don't tempt me to become a vyapari, to become a businessman. But the Lord is saying, no, you must take something, you must take something. Then he thought, now it appears that if I ask something, he'll be very happy. So he said, deliver my father, who is definitely going to hell. And he said, I have no fear from you. Everybody is trembling with your fear. Demigods and everybody is trembling. Even Lakshmi Devi is trembling. But I have no fear from you. I know you are my loving Lord. I have one fear, that I don't want to offend any Vaishnavas. There is only one fear I have got. By chance, if I offend devotees, I don't want to do that. Please bestow upon that benediction that even unknowingly I don't want to offend any Vaishnavas. So what they did, even after pressurizing, they asked only that thing from the Lord which is going to please him only. And that is the consciousness the Lord is attracted to. And it is said when devotee is like this, the Lord becomes helpless because he can't give anything to you. So Lord then offer himself to you and becomes subservient to you. He becomes das of that devotee. Because if you take something and go, the Lord is free, no? Ashtasaddhi you took and you are happy, I am happy, so I am free now. But when you are not taking anything and I want to give and you are not taking anything, then the Lord has only one option, to offer himself to you, to become yours. And that is possible in the human life, not in dog and cat life. Please realize this. Please understand this. And is much, much easier in Kali Yuga than in other yugas. This is another benediction of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So why not use our precious human life, especially in the precious times of Adhik Mass, to simply immerse ourselves in Hari Katha, in Hari Nam. And as soon as you become immersed in Hari Katha and Hari Nam, you will be immune to any attempts of Maya to destroy you or to delude you. Nothing can happen to you. However small and insignificant we may be, with these two things, if you are immersed in, nothing can touch us. When we choose to get out of these things, everything will touch you and engulf you. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. I have consumed all the time, but if you have some questions or comments, we can. Yes, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, thank you very much for elaborating on the power of association with devotees and the need to reject the non-devotee association. The question is a little longer, kindly bear with me. As Lord Kapildev said, that the living entity is trapped in avidya due to the asatsang. This asatsang is only possible in the material world. Also similarly, Sripad Sridhar Swami and Sripad Madhvacharya has also said that when the living entity gets trapped in the mayavad conception of life, that is being qualitatively and quantitatively one with the Lord, that is the moment when his conditioned life begins. That's the statement in Srimad Bhagavatam. Now again, this also is possible only either in the material world or at the most in the Brahmajyoti, which is again outside Vaikuntha. So the question is that this word, misuse of the free will or misuse of the independent free will, is it only applied to those living entities who are in the 400,000 of species of human life?
No. The free will is given to every living entity. Those who are in Goloka, those who are in spiritual Dwarka, Ayodhya, Mathura, Vaikuntha, in Brahmajyoti, in Swargaloka, Brahmaloka, Abhuvanar Loka, all, everywhere where there is an existence of creation, material or spiritual, everywhere the living entities have the free will of the Lord. A free will to do whatever you want.
Okay,
it is not only in material world. In the material world, what happens is the atmosphere is like too tempting for the living entity to get entangled into sense gratification.
Okay, you said about so many things about the association of pure devotees through which we can go to the back to Godhead. So, if this association, which is the practicing devotee association, has so much power, what to speak of the association of the Nitya Siddha devotees in the Vaikuntha?
Yes.
So, how can that power let us come down?
The Lord, as I said in very simple words, the Lord will send you what is necessary for you at the given time. Whatever you need now is available to you. Whenever time comes, it's good for you. A pure devotee will come to you. Whatever your fortune is, Nitya Siddha also will come in disguise to give association to you. Leave it to the Lord. Tell the Lord only one thing. Do the needful, my Lord. I will try not to struggle with your needful activities, but do the needful. Give him the full rope in his hand to do what is best for you. Why decide what he should do good for you? He knows, if you have faith that he knows better than you and us what is good for us, then what is there to dictate him? You just tell him, my Lord, I am yours, do the needful. Then whether you need a Nitya Siddha or a saint available in the world or a so-called simple devotee around you, he will send you. And through all those people who are so-called simple devotee, saintly person in the world or Nitya Siddha, he will tell you what you need to do. He will give the instruction to you. He doesn't have to come himself, or Nitya Siddha only has to come down to tell you what is good for you. He can tell you through the ant also. Like Avadhuta is learning from the ant also. Like that.
No, the point was that when we have the association in the spiritual with Nitya Siddha, the Krishna Parshadas, so in that association there is hardly any possibility of one misusing the free will, because there is no non-devotee association.
Prabhuji, we need to be qualified for that, no? Yes, I should be doing PhD, but I am not even in school. So I have to graduate first and get qualified. Then things will come to us. We cannot demand things. A child in school can't demand, Papa, put me in a PhD class. See, my brother is going to PhD class. Why don't you put me also? So what you will tell your son? Beta, you go to school, qualify graduation, and gradually when you give entrance exam, you will be also entering into PhD class. So what is good, best of all best is available, but one has to qualify for that, to receive that. Okay. That much humility has to be there. I need to progress gradually. The Lord will not make you bereft of any fortune if you are qualified for that. He will not wait. He is more eager to give you the best of best things than us also. He will give you what is most needed for you at opportune time when we are qualified, and he will not make you bereft of anything that we are qualified for. That faith we should have. Any other question is there?
Hare Krishna.
Jai Ho. Yeah, after Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna.
Mahaprabhu Das Ji, Prabhuji ki jai.
Actually, you are Vrindavan Vasi. And you are entrapped in here. But your katha, if we want to hear, we have to go to Vrindavan. The way so nicely you mentioned about Haridas Thakur, Kolavecha, or even Prahlad Maharaj, points very wonderfully well. But I don't know whether I should ask you a very basic point, which is the foundation of the total philosophy of Krishna consciousness, which we are listening from so many years, from the day we have come to Prabhupada movement, that we are not this body. And we are not this body, and we want to know about Krishna. And Krishna says in Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita 4:9, Janma Karma Chamidevyam. And you see even Brahma and Indra, they were not in position to understand Krishna. How we can understand Krishna? Now the question coming, the point is that we are talking very high philosophy, but we don't know, we are not this body, and that means we are Atma. And Atma is 1/10,000, smaller than the tip of the ear. And in Bhagavad Gita it said that 9 to 9 to what that?
You can say the question. What is the question?
No, no. We don't know about Atma. So what is, we are talking all big thing, big philosophy, but until unless we understand what is this Atma, how can we understand Krishna? So what is your realization about this?
So I will tell reference from the hospital where I am working. Because I am a doctor, so I will tell you a medical example. You get a small baby with some disease in the hospital. And then the baby is brought by the mother and father and whoever. And the doctor says that I need to give an injection to the baby. And mother says, okay, give. But child doesn't understand what disease he has got. Child doesn't understand what the medicine is going to be given to me. Child only understands this is painful. And then the doctor, the mother says, okay, we are two, we'll get more two and we'll hold him and you give the injection. The child will scream and cry without understanding anything about disease and about the medicine that has been given. They only scream and scream and cry and struggle with the treatment. But this injection goes inside successfully. Child is released from the four attackers. And what will happen after that? Child will get well. So child has come to the doctor without any knowledge. In fact, the child feels, why these parents are bringing me to this kind of person who is going to poke me with a needle? It's going to be so much pain to me. But in the process, the child has received the medicine and the child got cured of the disease without knowing what the disease is, right? So similarly, we may not know till now maybe that I am not this body. I am still, theoretically I know, practically I am still not on the platform. But when we hear Harikatha, something like that injection happens. You may not know, but it will still work on you and release you and give you the realization. That is why Srila Prabhupada, if you notice in his life, he was writing Srimad Bhagavatam. He wrote first canto, 3 volumes, and he went to America. And he continued writing. Suddenly what he did? Suddenly he thought, I'll write 10th canto in the story form, Krishna book. It is explained that it is a big risk that he was taking. He was trying to present Krishna Leela, Dasham Skanda, without even going through 9th Skanda to people, straight Krishna Leela. Because he knew the time is very short. I may not even be able to live till I reach 10th canto for translation. So let me translate in story form. And if I, by the mercy of the Lord, I live till that time, I'll even translate that. So he continued writing it. He wrote till Brahma Sammohan Leela, Dasham Skanda also. But before that, he presented Krishna Leela. Why he did that? Because he knew. Even though one is totally engrossed into the material consciousness, what to speak of knowing that I'm not his body? Engrossed in the body, knowing that I am the body only, everything is body. At that stage, he gave them Krishna book. And that transformed so many lives. Because Krishna Leela, even some little risk can be taken, but if it is given to people, it will purify them to the ultimate extent. That is why, even though I don't know I am this body, I am not this body, I am the soul, and I don't know many things in realization, but if I keep on hearing the Lord's pastimes with sincere heart, that will purify me and it will give me the realization. So we don't have to wait till I come to know I am soul to perform bhakti, which is the natural activity of the soul. You have to just, what Kapil Dev told devotee, just keep associating with devotees and hear Harikatha regularly. With faith, with wakefulness, with attention, with desire and love. Maybe artificially, but do attempt. And that will give us ultimate attachment to the Lord. Because Harikatha is not different from Hari. And what we are associating when we are hearing Harikatha is with Hari only. And associating with Hari is the original natural activity of the soul. So soul will immediately feel blissful. And while feeling blissful, soul will get purified. Knowingly, unknowingly, but it will happen. So we don't have to get bogged down with this philosophical confusion. When I will get realization? Nobody can, I cannot claim that I have got the realization, that I am this soul and not this body. I know theoretically, I know many slokas, I can quote. But I know one thing, that the process that I have been given, the mercy of the process that I have been bestowed with, will surely give me realization that I am soul and will also connect me with the Lord permanently in this life. Right now also is connecting me, it will keep connecting me in future also, at the end of this life also it will take me where I am supposed to be best position in. Hare Krishna. You had a question? In the human body, there are millions of souls. In the human body, there are one soul or two souls or multiple souls. In a human body, there are unlimited souls. Why is that? Because there are so many bacteria, many organisms living in you, each and everybody has soul. But that body is given to one soul, that is you. You are the owner, tenant, official tenant of that body. And there is one mole who stays with you, is the owner of the body. That is the Paramatma, the Lord. The Lord is staying next to you, you are staying in the body. Along with you, in your body are taking shelter millions of living entities having their souls inside. It's a huge society. Any other question before we end? So I request everybody of you, do not waste any single moment of this month, which is every moment of this month is so powerfully equipped to bestow upon us the highest of benedictions. Only a fool will miss this opportunity. And I don't want anybody of us to be fools, and we want to be all intelligent people. Get the maximum benefit drawn out of this month. Give up little bit things here and there and absorb yourself in Harikatha and Harinam. Thank you very much. Hari Bol.
Hare Krishna. There are a few announcements. There is an Odissi dance by Adrut children on Krishna Leela, from Krishna's birth to Kamsa's death. The event is in venue is Bharatiya Vidya Bhavan. That is on 9th June, Saturday. Timing is 6